from KQED.
I don't know how much you know about Rose Pak, who was a respected and controversial activist for Chinatown in San Francisco. She died in 2016, but if you Google her, you'll find this one portrait of her holding a baseball bat, staring at you, as if to say, "Try me." And this is why even after her death, she's still making news. A group of people protested at City Hall this week against the idea of naming Chinatown's future Muni rail station after Rose Pak.
Rose Pak has been a bully to a lot of the Chinatown merchants.
And it's bringing up all the old feelings.
You know, Rose never stabbed you in the back. She stabbed you in the front. I think that made her incredibly intimidating to politicians who were on the wrong side of her.
So what makes Rose Pak, a Chinese immigrant who worked tirelessly for Chinatown, so controversial that people don't want her name on a rail stop? I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to The Bay. Rose Pak's legacy in San Francisco started back in the 1970s, when Rose moved from China to study at San Francisco College for Women. And Pak would go on to have a lot of sway. Joe Eskenazi's written a lot about her. He's a managing editor at Mission Local, a news website focused on San Francisco's Mission District. He says Rose came to power at a time when it was really hard for women of color to be heard.
When she spoke not just for herself. That's something that takes years to cultivate and can't really be faked.
Over 100 years, so many people have sacrificed in my community.
This is Rose Pak speaking to KQED in an interview taped back in 2013.
The Asian community in general have attempted to be involved, to be elected, and you have to understand it wasn't that long ago that, you know, we weren't even allowed to become citizens or allowed to go to the public schools here or even treated at the public health facilities.
Rose would eventually work for the San Francisco Chronicle, where she was the paper's first Cantonese-speaking reporter. And even as a journalist, she found that she had to fight for everything.
She was punched by an interview subject, and she felt that the newspaper management did not take her side. And
She was punched by...
Yeah, she was assaulted during an interview by an interview subject.
Rose Pak ended up covering a lot of Chinatown news, and really, she was the only person at San Francisco's largest newspaper who could legitimately talk to the Chinese community. Over the years, she got to know who was who in Chinatown. Eventually, she left journalism and became an activist.
It started in the 70s with things like, you know, advocating to keep Chinese hospital running, you know, very neighborhood-oriented things.
You know, the Chinese hospital, we were somewhat successful in recent years to recruit the offsprings of our medical staff. So the second, the third generation of Chinese-American physicians who are bilingual are coming back to serve the community.
As she gained power and blossomed as either an activist or a power broker, what have you, Rose was expert at seeding the government with people that she cultivated.
One of them was the late Mayor Ed Lee, who was appointed interim mayor when Gavin Newsom was elected California's lieutenant governor. Despite Lee saying he wouldn't run for mayor when the time came, Rose Pak and a few others encouraged him to, and he won his seat in 2011.
I happen to know that if Ed Lee did not seize that opportunity, it might be years or decades before we have such an opportune time to have a Chinese American get there.
What really differentiated her from other activists or power brokers is that she never really skimmed off the top of that. You know, the term I've used before is she always reinvested her political capital and just kept putting more and more people into government.
Of course, everything is political in this town, and I would be remiss if I saw this opportunity and did not seize it and try to convince Ed Lee to run for mayor.
just the very character of Chinatown as it is now is something that Rose Pak was part of. Certainly not solely to credit for her, but she was among the people that passed the Chinatown Master Plan that made it so that it is harder to go into Chinatown and gentrify it than it is in other neighborhoods.
What was Rose Pak's contribution to the Central Subway?
That Central Subway exists as part of a promise from Willie Brown to make it up to her for the raising of the Central Freeway.
And the Central Freeway was basically destroyed in the 1989 earthquake.
Mortally wounded in the 1989 earthquake. And, you know, when you go back and look at, you know, Dirty Harry movies or Bullet or you know, Streets of San Francisco, it almost feels like those highways have been, you know, placed into the picture because they're so woefully misguided and they're so horrifically ugly and they cause horrible blight underneath them. And it's just such a terrible idea when you're on the waterfront now. It'd be kind of like putting an outhouse in Yellowstone, you know? I mean, it's just the most misguided idea. But it was the belief of Rose Pak and the belief of the Chinese merchants there that it funneled traffic into Chinatown. And so it was Willie Brown's pledge that he would connect basically the southeast of San Francisco with Chinatown via the Central Subway.
But for Rose Pak, the Central Subway meant something.
It was the makeup call for knocking down the Central Freeway.
I hope the Central Subway will relieve some of the transportation problems that I see facing our community. For example, you know, nearly 70% of our residents in Chinatown do not own a car. They exclusively, you know, rely on public transit.
So Rose Pak, as an individual, as a lot of people saw her, you know, she cussed, she didn't hold back a lot of her viewpoints. Besides the personality traits, what controversial positions did she take where people opposed her?
Oh, lots and lots. I mean, Rose Pak was very tightly aligned with the Chinese government, which is, you know, why it's the Falun Gong that's protesting so heavily to not have her name on the subway, because the Chinese government cracks down on the Falun Gong, which it categorizes as a nutty cult.
So that brings us to where we are now. San Francisco supervisors passed a resolution last month to include Rose Pak's name on the Chinatown stop of the Central Subway. Then this week, protesters, including the Falun Gong group, said they don't like this idea. Falun Gong is a controversial spiritual movement that the Chinese government has actually called a cult. There's been a lot of debate over this label, but because Rose Pak was associated with the Chinese government, Pak and Falun Gong have been at odds.
How do we know that she's so closely aligned with the Chinese government?
She was instrumental in bringing San Francisco government officials and other San Francisco officials to the tours of China. She was someone who could bring you there, and then you know, our government officials can be feted and business can be done.
When you think about the people who opposed Rose Pak, obviously we can't speak for everybody who lived in Chinatown or Chinese American live in San Francisco, but was it more people from the outside of Chinatown and the Chinese American community that opposed her, or were there a lot of people within the community other than this Falun Gong group that opposed her?
The answer to your question is yes. Rose Pak was involved in issues, and you know, I think that her relationship with Aaron Peskin is a good and illustrative one, that you know, that they differed on some issues and not on others, and they were bitter enemies at times and they came to be close allies at times. And that's something that Willie Brown has said too, you know, no permanent friends, no permanent enemies. Some of her bitterest enemies were fellow members of the Chinese community. There's a deep rivalry between Chinatown and the West Side. And other, you know, power broker types such as Julie Lee, who went to jail for fraud, such as former Senator Leland Yee, who she detested and referred to as a degenerate in public. Trying to win a showdown at Rose Pak in Chinatown is like walking into the burrow of a wolverine and trying to take it on. It was a very ill-advised thing to do in retrospect. And, you know, it turned out as you would think it would.
You know, there's a saying like, you know, you never want to be stabbed in the back. You know, Rose never stabbed you in the back. She stabbed you in the front.
Malcolm Young was a mentee of Pak's. He's the deputy director of the Chinatown Community Development Center. He's also a San Francisco airport commissioner.
I met Rose probably back in around 2009. And at that time, I had just been appointed to the elections commission for a short stint. And my friend introduced me to Rose, and I think he made the mistake of introducing me as a recently appointed commissioner. You know, Rose, I don't know if she smiled or she grimaced or, you know, what that look was on her face, but Rose basically looked me in the eye and said, I don't care who you are, I kick Commissioner Butt for breakfast. and I knew from there, you know, that this was a woman that I was going to love hanging out with.
You've used this word a few times to kind of talk about Rose Pack, and that's power broker. It sounded like she hated that term.
She hated that term.
Why?
Because she felt that it was a term that had nefarious overtones and that would not have been applied to her if she had been a white man. They would have called her an activist or a community leader.
And when you say somebody's an advocate for your community, it certainly is very different when you refer to people as a power broker. Somehow, you know, you motivated by influence, and you are influenced by money, and you are influenced by those very artificial and superficial momentarily needs, you know, of specific time, specific company. That's how I look at it.
Certainly, there is no shortage of overt racism, of patronizing behavior, of attitudes. But Rose Pack was a power broker. Rose Pack put people in power and then called people up. Willie Brown does that. John Burton does that. You know.
And when you say call people up for favors,
just to get things done.
Because she never held political office, how did she get so much power?
You know, like the old Smith Barney commercials, she earned it. You know, you gather it in bits and bits through the years, and to the point where you know everything, and everything, you know where everything is because you put it there.
You know, Rose was always laser focused on getting investment into Chinatown.
Cindy Wu was another one of PAC's mentees, and she was a close friend. Cindy's worked for Chinatown Community Development Center for about 12 years.
You know, public investment is one of the most maybe underappreciated ways that we can bolster our neighborhoods. And so the Central Subway, of course, is a really important investment. She was able to get funding to make sure that all the bathrooms in Chinatown could get new toilets, upgraded bathrooms. And so I think, you know, just being able to think very practically about what would help small businesses and what would bring more customers and what would just make everyday life in Chinatown better for folks, you know, something as small as bathrooms was something that she was just able to be focused, I think, on the daily lives of people in Chinatown.
It seems like she knew what she wanted. What did she want?
The most obvious answer is fair representation. I mean, we almost take it for granted now, and new residents of San Francisco will look around and see it's very healthily represented by Asian American leaders. But that wasn't always the case, you know. During the time that Art Agnos was mayor, Art Agnos told me that they didn't have anybody. You know, if you look at it now, you've got, you know, David Chu and Phil Ting, and you had Ed Lee, and you have various members of the Board of Supervisors, such as Norman Yee and Katie Tang, and Carmen Chu is the assessor, a former supervisor. And, you know, I mean, I can go on and on and on. I'm probably forgetting someone to my detriment. But, you know, this didn't happen 30 years ago, and that doesn't happen by itself. Chinese American voters are a goodly portion of the city. It's only in the last generation that they've really come to vote as a force, and that the city's elected leaders have reflected this demographic.
And Rose Pack fought a lot to get the people who she wanted into office.
I think that's a fair thing to say, and not only into office, but into government. I think we need to think about what it is to put someone's name on a project like this. The Central Subway's budget has doubled and tripled while its expected ridership has gone down by a third. It's late. There's going to be a million lawsuits. If the Central Subway works out to be a costly debacle, I think that, you know, this is something Rose Pack is instrumental in, and I think that the city should own it. We can acknowledge the nuance of this woman with her name on the troubled subway that she helped bring into being.
Joe Eskenazi is managing editor for Mission Local. Everyone we talked to for this episode said no one's been able to replace Rose Pack. Joe says no one's had the personality and the power to get things done the way she did. Instead, when Joe looks around at who's shaping San Francisco now, he doesn't see rogue political characters. He sees a city that's changed. The Bay is produced by Erica Cruz Guevara and editor Erica Aguilar. KQED's leadership team includes Julie Kane, Vinny Tong, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Devin Katayama. That's it for The Bay. We'll talk to you next week.